The positive attitude. How would you rate yourself as a Christian Scientist? Positive or negative? Remember that in the testimony given, it was the positive attitude, as well as the joyous attitude, which brought about such wonderful results. Do you accept the truth wholeheartedly, without any reservations? If you do, then you are positive. If error seems to present itself, do you instantly reverse it and substitute the truth? If so, you are positive. Are you absolutely sure and certain that God is all and everything is perfect? Rate yourself as positive. Are you constant, consistent, unwavering, steadfast, and even stubborn in standing with the truth? If so, rate yourself A+ for positiveness. What about your expectation? Are you always expecting wonderful things to happen? Do you have absolute faith that only good can come to pass? If so, there is a bit of convincing evidence that you are positive. I'm sure that it would be impossible to find a negative Christian Scientist in this association. Here are some bits of evidence which point to negative Christian Scientists. The individual hopes that he can be healed, rather than knowing that he will be. The one who thinks that Christian Science works for everybody else, but not for him. And the individual who is always thinking or expecting that the worst will happen. Then you've heard of this attitude. It is just too good to be true. And what about such comments as, "Oh yes, I know I'm really perfect, but I certainly don't manifest it." Or, "I have a rich Heavenly Father, but he hasn't shared any of his wealth with me." Then there's the individual who is sure one minute and not so sure the next, standing steadfast in the truth one day, but wavering the next, resolving never to give up the perfect concept, and then giving it up at the very first presentation of error. Oh, aren't you glad that none of these descriptions that might apply to a negative Christian Scientist fits you? Listen to what the dictionary has to say about the word positive, and you will see that it is a qualification which is essential to being a Christian Scientist. Quote, "confident, certain, sure," close quote. And I loved this added bit, quote, "aggressively certain," close quote. In knowing that God is all and that he is expressing himself and therefore the results have to be wonderful, how much more thrilling it is to be confident, certain, sure, rather than to lack confidence, to be uncertain or unsure. Another definition is, quote, "leaving no doubt," close quote. There certainly isn't much doubt as to the outcome of an individual's experience when you hear him say, "I'm not concerned about anything. Wonderful things are taking place." In our own thinking, in our own contemplation, in our own praying, there should never be any doubt about the allness of God and the perfection of his creation. There should only be absolute conviction that God is all and everything is perfect. And oh, how important it is in the sharing of our thinking with others that our every statement carries a ring of pureness, confident conviction that good is supreme, and therefore God's blessings are ever at hand. What kind of God do we have? Is there ever any interruption in his being all in all? Is there ever any uncertainty in God as principle? Any deviation in God as truth? Any inconsistency in God as love? James gives us a wonderful description of our positive, changeless God when he writes, quote, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Close quote. We are all familiar with that glorious promise of freedom, if we will but know the truth. But there is a certain prerequisite given in knowing the truth. When Jesus said, quote, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," the prerequisite he presented was, quote, "If ye continue in my word, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Close quote. When is it that we are most aware of the presence of God? When is it that we feel his presence, see his allness, behold his perfect universe, and behold his perfect man? Is it when we continue in his word? Is it not when we hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true? Mrs. Eddy tells us, quote, "Hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and you will bring these into your experience proportionally to their occupancy of your thoughts." Close quote. Oh, then is when the inspiration of divine mind pours into our waiting consciousness. Then is when we are filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Do you remember Stephen's experience? It was when Stephen was looking steadfastly into heaven that he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. The attitude of steadfastness is essential to healing. Our leader gives a specific rule for healing, which she states, quote, "When the illusion of sickness or sin tempts you, cling steadfastly to God and his idea. Allow nothing but his likeness to abide in your thought. Let neither fear nor doubt overshadow your clear sense and calm trust that the recognition of life harmonious, as life eternally is, can destroy any painful sense of or belief in that which life is not." Close quote. The attitude of dominion, of standing steadfast, of persistence, of constancy, of immovableness, is a demand made upon us by our Heavenly Father. It is a law laid upon us by Christian Science. Therefore, we have no choice but to be steadfast and constant. However, this is not beyond the ability of man. Dominion is our heritage. We inherit the dominion to be constant and steadfast from our heavenly Father, with whom is no variableness. Moreover, God knowingly gave man dominion over all. In speaking of this dominion, our leader says, quote, "His birthright is dominion, not subjection. He is Lord of the belief in earth and heaven, himself subordinate alone to his Maker." Close quote. This is the science of being. Controlled by truth, we are forced to manifest consistency and invariableness. And with God as our mind, governing and controlling us, we have no choice but to be sure and positive. Mrs. Eddy tells us to hold perpetually the thought that it is the Christ, the Holy Ghost, that enables us to demonstrate with scientific certainty. This makes it very clear that we are not alone in our efforts to express dominion. God is ever at hand, not only enabling us, but impelling us, compelling us, forcing us to demonstrate with certainty, with sureness, with positiveness, with constancy, with persistence, the rules of healing. Notice that in presenting this statement, Mrs. Eddy does not say that we should have this thought today, but not tomorrow, or that we should have the thought every other hour. She says, quote, "Hold perpetually the thought," close quote. Oh, there was certainly no variableness nor deviation in her approach, was there? There is a little prayer that Mrs. Eddy once shared with a friend of hers that has enabled me to express my dominion in standing steadfast. This is a prayer that Mrs. Eddy gave to Laura Lathrop when she asked her to establish Second Church in New York City. Quote, "There is no other mind to tempt me, harm me, or control me. I spiritually understand this and am master of the occasion." Close quote. It is because the one infinite divine mind is controlling us that we are incapable of being weak or lacking in confidence, steadfastness, and constancy. We cannot be tempted to lose faith, to be uncertain. Instead, we are master of the occasion. We are those steadfast, positive, sure, certain, consistent, persistent children of that one Father, Mother, God, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I would like to conclude this discussion on the importance of positiveness with Paul's words. Quote, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Close quote. That's the end of the address.